Hello and welcome to episode number one of the Eggers Gallery podcast. I'm your host, Michael Eggers. Our show recognizes and celebrates visual artists who exhibit their art at the Eggers Gallery. If you would like to exhibit with us, keep your eyes peeled for our calls to artists at eggersgallery.com. Today's episode is an interview with visual artist Benji Ruckus Pearson. And now let us take a peek inside the artist's studio.
My name's Benji Ruckus Pearson. The Ruckus comes from a well-earned nickname I got in Jacksonville, Wyoming. I did a lot of artwork for snowboard and ski industry. Those of you familiar, I did a lot of the pro model stuff for Travis Rice, so The Art of Flight, which is a snowboard, pretty prominent snowboard movie. Done stuff from K2 skis to, you know, CD covers ranging from Utah to Wyoming. Getting my start here with Eggers Gallery in Seattle, so I'm very excited to be a part of this.
Well, great. Well, we're happy to have you, Benji. So our first question we have is, how is your personality reflected in your artwork?
Well, anybody who knows me knows I'm a complete Star Wars nerd. So, like, a lot of my stuff stems from, you know, my early influences of from Ralph McQuarrie and Joe Johnston, who were the conceptual designers for the first Star Wars films. You know, I emulate those guys, but I don't reflect those guys. My stuff is very mechanical, meticulous in my stuff that I, you know, machinery kind of style that I do. I call it sci-fi graffiti, though. It's an extension of my personality.
Does seem to shine through in your artwork, and it looks fantastic. How do you overcome creative blocks when you come upon them?
No, I kind of let it come to me. I don't try to reference too much stuff. I never look at pictures and try to copy something. I never use rulers, or a lot of my stuff is freehand. I don't use this word very often, but patience, I guess. I have very little of it, so I'm very careful when I spend it.
What makes art good to you?
The direction of the eye, I guess, I gotta say. One of my current favorite living artists is Blaine Fontana, and his ability to direct your eye around the canvas and really explore every inch of the canvas and enjoy it is truly, a great artist will be able to do that for you, and you won't even have to work when you look at something to enjoy it. You know, always finding something new is also something good, you know, hidden pictures, that kind of stuff, happy accidents, something that can't occur on a computer, you know, a lot of stuff these days is computer enhanced, and I think that you miss out on a lot of the raw qualities and the raw stuff that happens in the process of doing hands-on painting and hands-on art.
So, do you have a most important artist tool in your studio, something that you couldn't live without or start a next piece on? What would that piece be?
I would say definitely my Sharpies. I gotta have the Sharpie. I find that pens push you more to be a perfectionist than any other tool in your kit, because with pens, there's no second chances. You gotta create off your accidents and create off your mistakes, and thus is life, creating through mistakes. And I think that the pen is probably the most important tool. You know, erasers and pencils, that's all and good, but you can always erase and start over. With pens, you really gotta go with you gotta commit. It's full commitment.
True. So how do you go about starting a new work?
Well, you know, I used to sit down and sketch, but now I've kind of worked backwards. I think spray painting has taught me to work in reverse. With spray painting, you're starting with the background and then going into the foreground, because that's the way the paint is layered. I take random objects that I find and I just spray it on the canvas, and that creates my negative space that I can build off of.
Have you encountered any real-life situations that have inspired you to create a certain piece of art that happened from a real-life experience that you had?
The piece I did for Quicksilver for Travis Rice in 2009 that got turned into a coat was actually a piece of a biomechanical, the piece is called Biotribe, and it's a biomechanical Native American, and it stems from my heritage and also the kind of way that I think that art and Native American have been kind of processed through our generations and, you know, and kind of modernized. And I think that that piece alone kind of stems from my own personal encounters with, like, you know, the modern day and how people are perceived and how return to grassroots kind of Native American way of life is depicted in the picture is kind of a contrast to the way it is now. And if you saw the piece, you kind of know what I was talking about.
What other jobs have you done throughout your career?
Oh man, how much time do you have? I mean, I've done everything. I've done everything. I've been a substance abuse counselor in Alaska. I was a manager of a strip club. I've been a DJ. I've been a bartender. I've been a bouncer. I've been a lift operator at you know, ski resorts. I've been a snowboard instructor. I've been a professional snowboarder. I've been a professional rollerblader. I mean, the list, I enjoy what I do, and I'm happy. I'm happy in my consistency of the typical starving artist, but there's no job like being an artist. You get paid to be you. It's like being Samuel Jackson. He gets paid to be Samuel Jackson.
Very true. Very true. And you seem to have quite a depth of experiences to pull from your artistic palette.
No school like the present, the life experience is the true test and measure of an artist. I think every artist who's been through something and has true life experience, it comes out in their painting and the passion. And to remain passionate for years and years and years on what you're doing is work.
Sounds like you've put in the time to reap the benefits.
Yeah, I've been doing it a long time. I've been doing professional art. Well, I've been getting paid for art since I was 21, so 19 years. More of my stuff has been produced in the last 10 to 12 years.
What art websites would you say you visit the most often?
My site right now is rucker7.com, and I'm just getting it set up and stuff, so that's one I'm visiting a lot. I also have a side project with my friend Rob Kingwell, Avalon 7, snowboarding. We make functional art for snowboarders. It's like face masks and hats and t-shirts and stuff. So I visit that site quite a bit just to see what is new. And I visit Blaine's site, Blaine Fontana Art, his stuff, just to see what he's got going on. I'm just a fan. And then also, all the Star Wars sites, any kind of fan art site that I like, that kind of style. I like biomechanical, vehicle conceptual design stuff. So I visit a lot of those sites.
Where do you go to find your calls for artists that you enter?
Artist Antitrust. I was referred to that site through my friend Starhead Boy, who's a local artist, and he lives in Durand. I live in Des Moines, obviously, and so we're close in proximity, and he's kind of tapped into the local scene here. And I just reached out to him and asked him, how do I get involved locally more? And he gave me the Artist Antitrust site, which is how I found you guys.
Great. Yeah, that is a great site to go to. They've got a lot of opportunities there.
I've been relying on a lot of my snowboarding and skiing connections as of late to get jobs and get work. But, a lot of that stuff is seasonal. And so it's hard to get something that's, local. And I just kind of want to get back to Seattle a little bit.
Great art community in Seattle. Where would you say that you sell most of your art, whether it be, art fairs or websites or, where would you say you have your best luck in selling your pieces?
I mean, typically just off my Facebook pages. I post hats on my Instagram sites, and I post hats on my Facebook pages.
Okay.
Until I get set up to the website, that's where I'm primarily selling my stuff. But location, I do the best in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I'm actually headed out there on Wednesday to do a show next week. Ski bums are great, but they're always broke. The hats are the best way to do that. The hats are a really good thing to get your art out there but also make it functional. I love functional art. I love making snowboards and skis and stuff that you can look down on and you're using, but they also are aesthetically pleasing.
Yes. Yeah. Art you can take with you anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any type of studio routine you use? Do you like to listen to music, or you only, are you creating art mainly at certain times of the day? What would be your routine for creating your art?
Well, I usually procrastinate for at least 6 to 7 months. No, I'm kidding. I procrastinate a lot because I'm out having fun. But I do typically, I draw at night, kind of when the world is quiet, my phone's not ringing, and I turn on. I used to be hip hop, and I used to be all about drawing the hip hop because of the rhythm. But lately, I've been into kind of like melodical folk music. So I put that on. I have to have like a clean area. My workspace has to be like clean and organized for me to start anything. I can't get started in the cluster like a lot of artists can.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Sharpie. Do you have any favorite brand of art supplies that these are the ones that work best for you? You've got to have these certain type of supplies.
I love my Sharpies, but I love the Prism Color pens. They're great to get your shading done. But I'm really high on these pens right now. They're called Faber-Castell, and they're kind of just basically like a primer pen. You can add any color to it. You can draw right over it. It dries within like 5 minutes, and the directional marker but you can use it as a tool through using on colored canvases or any kind of colored fabric. It's just a white additive. It's kind of create your own space with these pens, and you can find them in any hobby store. I really like, you know, they're really good if you're layering pieces, if you're going to be doing a lot of layering.
For the last question, what would be the best tip you could give another artist who's starting out that just loves what you do and would like to know how he or she could take off like you do? What would be the best tip you could give that artist?
I would say keep doing what you're doing. You know, don't compromise. Keep doing what makes you happy. Don't compromise for anybody. Keep your style and keep your focus, because that's what, and at the end of the day, as money comes and goes, you know, it always will. But your happiness and your loyalty to your own craft and to your own style is what truly stands out to people. And I think that's a very important thing. You know, it's different, because you just got to keep doing what you're doing. You know, it'll find a way to get out there. Don't stress the small stuff.
That is definitely a great tip. I'm sure that a lot of people will take to heart. Here at the Eggers Gallery, Benji, we'd like to thank you for participating in the Machinery Show, and thank you for all your great answers and taking the time to share your thoughts with us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, and I'm excited to work with you guys.
The Eggers Gallery would like to thank all the participating artists at the Machinery Show. Those include John Schlichter, K.A. Letts, Benji Ruckus Pearson, Brian McClear, Bruce Howard, Matthew Bailey, and Matt Smith. For more information about these artists, you can go to eggersgallery.com. Thank you for joining us on our peek inside the artist studio.